Mesdames et messieurs, bonsoir, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Grimaldi Forum here in Monaco to begin this season's UEFA Champions League Groups stage draw.
So the wait is finally over. The draw for the 2014-15 UEFA Champions League group stage has been made, and if last season is anything to go by, we're in for a treat.
Cristiano Ronaldo sets the seal on a stunning night for Real Madrid at the end of another record-breaking season for the champions of Europe.
Real Madrid finally achieved La Decima in Lisbon last May after a dramatic victory over City rivals Atletico. But which team will be lifting the trophy in Berlin next June? We'll be discussing all the contenders in this special preview of the group stages, as well as hearing from Carlo Ancelotti, Andre Villas-Boas and Wojciech Szczesny. And we'll get reaction from the newly crowned UEFA Best Players in Europe, Cristiano Ronaldo and Nadina Kessler. So stay with us for a full look ahead to the new UEFA Champions League season, exclusively on Matchday Live. I'm Rob Daly, and over the course of the show, we're going to bring you a full preview of this season's UEFA Champions League group stage. Alongside me are European football experts Chris Parrott and Mark Scott. Welcome, gents, as always. Firstly, Chris, what a season we have in store again.
Absolutely. 10 former winners in the group stage, 16 current national champions and two group stage debutants, Rob, all hoping to stop Real Madrid from retaining that title.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the fact that we've got some returning greats in the likes of Sporting Club de Portugal and Liverpool FC as well. So nice to see some of those sides with pedigree return as well.
We're obviously going to look at all eight groups in depth, but let's have some key fixtures for you, first of all, Mark.
Well, I think the one that stood out for me when the draw was made, Real Madrid against Liverpool. It's great to have Anfield back as a European venue. I've been lucky enough to be there on a couple of big European nights. The atmosphere is up there with the very best on the continent. And it'll be interesting as well with the big names of Real in town, former English Premier League stars Ronaldo and Bale in their midst as well. Just a shame that Xabi Alonso is not going to be there to return to his former stomping ground.
Yeah, it'll be some evening at Anfield. Arsenal against Borussia Dortmund again, third time in four seasons they've been paired together in the UEFA Champions League. And Group F is fascinating because of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's played for three clubs, now at Paris Saint-Germain. And of course, he's formerly been at Ajax and at Barcelona.
Yeah, it's just a shame we couldn't get Malmo in there as well, isn't it, really? Throughout the season, of course, you can get in touch with us on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with your thoughts and opinions on Twitter. It's at Champions League using the hashtag Matchday Live. And you can like the official Facebook of the competition. More than 35 million likes on there now. Leave your comments for us. We'll read out some of your questions for our panel as well later on in the show. So before we take a detailed look at this year's UEFA Champions League group stage, let's reminisce a little about last year's stunning competition.
On the first day of group stage action, the defending champions Bayern München got straight back into their stride.
That's a lovely flick into the area for Robin. The flag has stayed down and he makes it three. Emphatic finish from Arjen Robin. That's the point secured on match day one for Bayern. They lead CSKA Moskva by 3-0 now.
Match day one's most eye-catching result came in Istanbul.
Ronaldo inside the penalty area, skips away from two, still going Ronaldo. It is a brilliant hat-trick goal from Cristiano Ronaldo. It is going to be Real Madrid's biggest ever away victory in the UEFA Champions League. They lead 6-1 at Galatasaray.
So three for Ronaldo, but a certain Argentinian wasn't to be outshone.
Messi on a hat-trick! So easy! Wrong foot to two defenders, wrong foot to goalkeeper. Yet another hat-trick for Lionel Messi. Barcelona 4, Ajax 0.
As Group F concluded, Napoli set an unwanted record.
Insigne with a ball in towards Kayo and cuts it over the goalkeeper and scores Napoli's second goal. Now, is it too little too late? They have a matter of seconds to get another one. Napoli 2, Arsenal 0. Heartbreaking fashion for them if they go out from here with 12 points.
Paris Saint-Germain scored 16 group stage goals and didn't slow up when the knockout stages started.
Ibrahimovic! Oh, he's done it again! Paris Saint-Germain are already almost out of sight. And Zlatan Ibrahimovic with his second. 3-0. Leverkusen cannot believe it.
At Old Trafford, Manchester United overturned a 2-0 first leg deficit at the expense of Olympiakos.
Van Persie! They It's a hat-trick of the highest quality from Robin van Persie, and Manchester United are heading through as it stands to the last eight.
Atletico made the last eight undefeated, and that didn't change after two battles with Barca.
It was Adrian Lopez with the opportunity. He's got another one now, headed across goal, and it's in! And Atletico Madrid lead on the night and lead on aggregate, and Barcelona are in big trouble. It is Koke with the goal.
Bayern beat Manchester United. Real Madrid eased past Borussia Dortmund, while Chelsea left it very, very late against Paris Saint-Germain.
Shot from Aspilicueta, and there is Dembélé with the goal that will surely put Chelsea's place in the UEFA Champions League semi-final.
The semis were all about the Spanish capital.
It's Ronaldo! It's four. That just puts the icing on the cake of a truly stunning football performance by Real Madrid. It is Bayern München 0, Real Madrid 4.
Off the bar and in, and that will settle it. Atletico have their third goal. Arda Turan wheeling away in celebration. Chelsea 1, Atletico 3. The All Madrid final is on.
And what a final it was, with Atletico striking first.
Goalkeeper Casillas has come, hasn't got there, and can't pull it back off the line. It's Atletico who have opened the scoring in Lisbon. Luka Modric with a ball in. There is the equalising goal. Real Madrid have done it. Sergio Ramos has got the goal again for Real Madrid. Deep, deep into added time in the final. Di Maria is going all the way into the middle, and the shot hits Courtois, and Gareth Bale has turned it in extra time. It's Gareth Bale who might just have delivered La Decima. Marcelo striding forward into the penalty area. Good save by Courtois, but it's gone in, and that is that. And Real Madrid are champions of Europe again. Cristiano Ronaldo, who won it, will take it, and Cristiano Ronaldo sets the seal on a stunning night for Real Madrid. And there is the full-time whistle. It is La Decima. It is raised by Iker Casillas, and Real Madrid, a dozen years since last lifting the UEFA Champions League, Real Madrid are kings of the competition again. A 10th European Cup realises the dream of La Decima, and the celebrations start here. Fitting champion after a fabulous season in the UEFA Champions League.
Well, what an incredible season it was, gents. Amazing to hear some of that commentary back from last season as Real Madrid went on, of course, to win the trophy. Can you really remember a good as final of that? We've had some great ones in recent years, Mark.
Yeah, we've been treated to some crackers, really. The all-German affair at Wembley was great entertainment. We had the decisive late goal in that, and what a tale the Munich final was as well, with Bayern München playing in their own backyard, but Chelsea winning on penalties. And who could forget that Barcelona masterclass at Wembley in 2011? The list goes on, but in terms of the context, the first time two teams from the same city contested the final, and then the drama of Sergio Ramos's late equaliser and the story of Bale scoring and then Ronaldo rounding it off, it's right up there.
It is, and of course for Real Madrid, the long wait for La Decima, that 10th European title, the most successful team in the history of the European Cup, finally got that monkey off their back, really, which had been following them around ever since Zinedine Zidane scored that goal at Hampden Park against Bayer Nürnberg Leverkusen in 2001. And the way they did it almost added to the drama, because for so long they thought their city rivals were going to stop them finally back in a final, stop them lifting it for a 10th time, and then Sergio Ramos scored that header, as we just heard, and in the end, in extra time, they had enough. It was a brilliant achievement for those players and also for Real Madrid as a football club.
Well, let's hear from the man who masterminded Real Madrid's 10th European crown, Carlo Ancelotti.
We had a very good season because in the end we managed to achieve our most important objective, which for Real Madrid is winning the Champions League. That combined with what we achieved in the Copa del Rey, and you can say that it was a very positive season. We were all satisfied at the end of it. It was an important target for this club. As soon as we won it, we started looking towards the season that is beginning now and the next trophies that we can look to win. This is the Real Madrid philosophy. Winning La Decima may have pleased people, but there is always plenty of desire to continue to improve this club's history.
Carlo Ancelotti, only the second manager after Bob Paisley to win three European Cups. Not bad going, Chris, at all.
No, not bad. And in his first season in Madrid, to bring Ledesma back to Real Madrid, a wonderful achievement. And of course, he's now won it five times, three as a coach, two as a player.
And did it in style as well. 41 goals in 13 games. A coach normally associated perhaps with more defensively minded sides, but they rained goals.
Remember, you can hear all the action from every game once again this season on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Just go to the Match Centre on UEFA.com for our show from 19:30 CET every match day and tune in. Coming up, we'll be reacting to Thursday's UEFA Champions League group stage draw in Monaco.
For exclusive interviews with UEFA Champions League stars, pick up your copy of Champions Match Day, also available on the Apple newsstand.
Now it's time to take a comprehensive look ahead to this year's UEFA Champions League group stage after the draw was made in Monaco last Thursday, and it's thrown up some pretty interesting matchups. Let's start with Group A, where we have Atletico, Juventus, Olympiacos and Malmo. And this is the only group containing four domestic champions. Let's start with Atletico, Chris. They've lost Diego Costa, and of course Courtois has gone back to Chelsea, but they have made some good signings themselves as well.
Yeah, they have. In terms of financial outlay, they've spent as much as they ever have. Likes of Antoine Griezmann from Real Sociedad, who looks a very clever player. Of course, Mario Mandzukic, who's won this competition from Bayern, and Jan Oblak from Benfica. So yes, they've lost big names, but they've also attracted some big names back to Atletico. And with Diego Simeone, we saw what he did last season. That they're going to be a force again, no doubt about that.
And there's been a lot of change at Juve over the course of the summer, most notably, of course, with the manager. But they'll be hoping to fare better in the UEFA Champions League because it hasn't quite worked out for them over the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, and they've signed Evra and Morata, who are obviously two stellar names. And perhaps their biggest signing, in inverted commas, is the fact that they've kept hold of Paul Pogba. Certainly looking at the pedigree, you'd say Atletico and Juventus would be the favourites to progress, but you never know in the UEFA Champions League.
Marcus Rosenberg scored twice to see Malmo through to the playoffs at the expense of Salzburg, and the striker struggled to sum up just how much it meant for the club to be in the group stage.
It's difficult to describe. Nobody believed in us before, and it was more than 10 years ago since a Swedish club was in Champions League. So we did a fantastic job, and you couldn't really understand that we did it right now.
For a club of Malmo's stature, of course, they'll be delighted to be back in the UEFA Champions League, but they do have history in this competition, Chris.
They do. Finalists back in 1979 when they lost to Nottingham Forest, of course. Group stage debutants, but hugely impressive in qualifying, Rob. They lost the first leg against Sparta Praha and Salzburg in the playoff round, but also in the third qualifying round, came back to win. So they certainly have fight, and as he mentioned, they're big for Malmo, also big for Swedish football to have a club in the group stage.
Christian Karambu won the UEFA Champions League twice with Real Madrid, but he's now back at one of his former clubs, Olympiacos, as a strategic advisor. The Frenchman is happy with the Greek side's draw.
It's a great chance for us to try to measure ourselves against these big, big teams like Juventus and Atletico Madrid. And for us, yes, we know that the evidence that they are favourites, and we're going to try to fight with Malmo to try to reach the qualification.
Christian Karambur speaking there. And of course, Mark, they've lost a few players this summer, Olympiacos, but they do have Kostas Mitroglou back on the books.
Yeah, returning hero, and his goals will certainly be crucial in their hopes. And don't forget, of course, they almost made it through against Manchester United last season, and they were eliminated on that famous night at Old Trafford. And that was an impressive performance from them to get that far and go so close.
So match day one for Group A, Tuesday the 16th of September, Olympiacos host Atletico and Juventus welcome Malmo to Turin. OK, let's move on to Group B now. What about this group? Real Madrid, Basel, Liverpool and Ludogorets. We'll get onto the Bulgarian side and their dramatic qualifications shortly. Let's hear from Real Madrid's main men last season, Sergio Ramos. He isn't dwelling on La Decima.
Well, in football, you can't live in the past. You've got to move forward and prove your worth. In that respect, we're very proud of what we achieved last season, but now it's time to defend the throne. Winning the Champions League was no mean feat, and now we've got a new challenge on our hands. Dreams don't work unless you do, so you've got to be optimistic and win trophies so that your name stays at the top. The Champions League is a special competition, and one which Real Madrid always take a special approach to, so in that sense, we'll be giving it our all again this year.
Sergio Ramos there. And Real Madrid, Chris, aren't resting on their laurels because they have made changes themselves in the transfer market.
Yeah, they have. The likes of James Rodriguez adds to that wealth of talent that they have. It was fascinating listening to Sergio Ramos there. He, of course, has now won absolutely everything. The UEFA Champions League was the one trophy he hadn't got, and he played such a massive role, the equaliser in the final and indeed against Bayern in the semi-finals when he scored those two goals. But they haven't dwelt on it, and with Carlo Ancelotti, we've already mentioned him, they're going to be there or thereabouts. They always demand to win the UEFA Champions League every year anyway.
Of course, we have five-time winners. Liverpool back in the UEFA Champions League group stage after a five-year absence. But one of their new strikers has recent history in this competition.
One over the top for Balotelli to chase. And chase it he does. And he's in behind Ambrose. Balotelli has finished it. And AC Milan's seven-match winless run is ending in style in the UEFA Champions League.
So Mario Balotelli back in the UEFA Champions League this season with Liverpool. That's going to be some interesting signing this season, Mark.
Yeah, a glamour striker, if you will, and obviously a glamour tie as well with Real Madrid and Liverpool going head-to-head. But I think you've got to keep an eye out for Basel as well. They've got history against Liverpool, finished above them in the 2002-2003 first group stage, and have given some other English sides a run for their money, knocking out Manchester United and also running Chelsea close recently as well.
Well, let's hear from Liverpool's manager now, Brendan Rodgers, who's relishing the opportunity to pit his wits against Real Madrid, the holders.
Two clubs that are very special, you know. You're looking at, what, 15 times winners between the two, which is incredible. So two incredible clubs. And I think for the likes of ourselves, it's a great, you know, chance for us to play the current champions of the competition. And as I said, it's absolutely brilliant for our supporters and all the people involved in the city to have Champions League football back again.
Brendan Rodgers speaking there about the prospect of taking on Real Madrid. They have, of course, lost Luis Suarez. We'll get onto that later on in the show, but he's recruited very well. Also in the section, Basel, who've done very well in Europe in recent times, but they have lost their manager, Murat Yakin, who's gone to Spartak Moskva, and Valentin Stocker and Jan Sommer, who've gone to Bundesliga clubs. Let's not forget Ludogorets. Chris, why don't you remind us of how exactly they got to this stage of the competition?
Well, it was one of the most extraordinary stories of recent times in the UEFA Champions League. Playing Steaua in the playoff round, was heading towards penalties. Their goalkeeper then got sent off. And so an outfield player, Cosmin Motsi, went in goal. He did the Bruce Grobbelaar legs, famously formerly of Liverpool, of course, and he ended up saving two penalties in Sofia. They knocked out the former winner, Steaua, into the group stage for the first time. It was such a dramatic evening. It was one of those matches you just could not take your eyes off. You almost thought, is he going to save the penalties? Is this somehow destiny? And he did.
Yeah, not bad. And their prize, of course, is being drawn in a group with Liverpool and Real Madrid. Ludogorets go to Anfield on match day one, Tuesday the 16th of September, to take on Liverpool. And Real Madrid host Basel. That's one of our featured matches on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live from 1930 CET from the Bernabeu. Don't forget that you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Champions League using the hashtag Match Day Live. We have had a few tweets and Facebook messages come in ahead of the show. A lot of people want to know, like Harry, Mark, how do you think Liverpool will do in the competition, having been out of it for this long? How are they going to cope with the rigours of being in the group stage?
I think that is the biggest question, isn't it? If they've got the squad strength to compete in so many competitions on so many fronts. They did well in the English Premier League last season when they didn't have the distraction of European football. They've recruited Mario Balotelli, of course, which strengthens their striking options. And I think they'll do well because the crowd at Anfield is such a big part of their hopes. And having been starved of being at Europe's top table for 5 years now, they'll be right up for it.
Let's move on to Group C. Benfica, Zenit, Bayer Leverkusen and Monaco. I don't know what you think, Chris, but perhaps this is the most even group for me. I can't really call who's going to make it out of the section.
I'd agree. Of all the sections, I think in terms of picking a favourite for this group, it's pretty hard. They all have pedigree, but they all look evenly matched. So it's going to be a case of who can come out and play their best football when it really counts. You know, Benfica, UEFA Europa League finalists in each of the last two seasons, having dropped out of the UEFA Champions League on each occasion. They're the top seeds, but, you know, Zenit, Leverkusen and Monaco is a tough test for them, that's for sure.
Yeah, Zenit beat Standard Liège to make the group stages, but their manager André Villas-Boas is not getting too carried away with their qualification.
No, we go step by step. You know, the group phase can you can be handled a more easy or more difficult group. You know, we wanted to be there. We are there. We have a team of players and ambition to go far away. But, you know, we understand that we still have a lot to do.
So Garay will face his former club likely in the UEFA Champions League group stage in the colours of Zenit. And they always seem to recruit relatively well, Mark, and they've kept hold of Hulk this summer, so they're looking strong once again.
Yeah, and they've made a pretty decent start to the Russian Premier League as well, and Andre Villas-Boas seems to have settled in very well there. You mentioned Hulk, that was the one thing I was going to come to. You talk about plenty of sort of big-name signings, but so many teams have had the big boost of keeping hold of players rather than maybe recruiting, and he is pivotal to their hopes.
Let's take a look at Leverkusen now. They have lost Emre Can to Liverpool, but Hakan Çalhanoğlu has added some quality to the midfield. Chris, how do you think Leverkusen are getting out on this season?
Well, they're hugely impressive under Roger Schmidt against Copenhagen in the playoff rounds. German sides normally are built for the UEFA Champions League and have impressed. I think Leverkusen will fancy their chances, certainly of having a go at the top two positions, and if not, getting third to go into the UEFA Europa League round of 32.
And Monaco are back, of course, finalists back in 2004 against FC Porto, but lots has changed over the course of the summer there, Mark.
Yeah, even though they've lost James Rodriguez, of course, to Real Madrid, I still think they were probably one of the teams in Pot D that all the other sides that were seeded higher wanted to avoid. And in Leonardo Jardim, they've got a very canny manager as well. They could be dark horses.
They have. He did brilliantly well at Sporting last season. Falcao going, you know, was a further disappointment for them, leaving for Manchester United. But back in the UEFA Champions League group stage after a 9-season absence, they still have a lot of quality. And they'll fancy their chances, as we mentioned, in what looks a very, very even section.
Match day one fixtures for this group. Tuesday, the 16th of September, Monaco host Leverkusen and Benfica welcome Zenit to Lisbon. Let's have a look at Group D now. Arsenal, Borussia Dortmund, Galatasaray, Anderlecht. It's the third time in 4 years that Arsenal and Dortmund have been put in the same group. This is what happened when the two sides met last season.
Cross, shot, goal. Robert Lewandowski puts Borussia Dortmund in front against the run of play. A dagger through the heart of Arsenal's team.
The diving header is in and Arsenal have it with Aaron Ramsey. Dortmund are behind and nobody here saw that coming.
So it was away wins when these two sides met last season. Arsenal 1, Dortmund 2 in North London, and Borussia Dortmund suffered a 1-0 home loss when Aaron Ramsey got the winner on match day 4 of last season. Let's have a quick chat about Borussia Dortmund first of all, Mark, because again, with Robert Lewandowski leaving, they've had to make some replacements and it's going to be a big season for them.
Yeah, but I think the fact they've kept hold of Marco Reus is probably something that will cheer their fans, and the fact they've kept hold of Jurgen Klopp as well, yes, because he was a manager that was in high demand. His stock is still very high, and I think that, as we mentioned earlier, they could be a side that might slip under the radar.
They came so close to knocking out Real Madrid, remember, in the quarterfinals. Yes, Madrid were the best team in Europe and went on to lift the trophy, but you know, they won 2-0 in that second leg and they were pretty close, Dortmund, to going through themselves.
Yeah, Shinji Kagawa, one of those players going back to Dortmund actually this summer from Manchester United. Arsenal, meanwhile, edged past Besiktas to make the group stage for the 17th successive season. Remarkable. The minimum expectation, according to their goalkeeper, Wojciech Szczesny.
I think when you play for Arsenal Football Club, you expect to play Champions League football every single year. So it was the least the fans could expect from us to qualify through the playoffs and get to the group stages. Of course, we want to do as well as we can in the group stages and after that, but for now this was the minimum.
The thoughts of Wojciech Szczesny, the Arsenal goalkeeper, who has a bit more competition this season with David Ospina on the books. What do you think Arsenal's objectives are for this season, Mark?
Well, funnily enough, I spoke to Arsene Wenger quite recently, and he said this was a very competitive group and pointed out the sort of even level between Arsenal and Dortmund, as we saw last season when they both beat each other away from home. He says that they know how tough Galatasaray will be as well, having played Besiktas in the playoff round, and Turkish sides are never easy. And when I had a look at the fixtures as well, they go to Istanbul on match day 6, and given how passionate the crowd is there, as we know very well, it will be very tough for them if both those two are still in contention then.
Let's look at Galatasaray then, Chris, because they have lost Didier Drogba, but I think they've recruited pretty well signing Pandev and Jamali from Napoli. How do you think they'll fare this season?
Well, I think they'll always be competitive. Mark's talked about that home record, which will be important. They have a very canny manager, Cesare Prandelli, now in charge, led Italy to the final at UEFA Euro 2012. As you mentioned, some big names still there, the likes of Wesley Schneider. I think they're a team that will fancy their chances against Arsenal and Dortmund. It's a tough draw for Galatasaray, one of those. They would have been hoping for an easier team from Pot 1 and Pot 2 than Arsenal and Dortmund, but you know, they'll always be a force, especially because of how they play at home.
And De Ligt, of course, the other team in the group, they've signed former Standard Liège captain Steven Defour in this transfer window. They have lost Cheku Kouyaté to West Ham, but they're in a tough group with Paris Saint-Germain last season, and Anderlecht, Mark, will want to prove themselves this season.
Yeah, Besnik Hassi has come out and said that he knows that they're going to be the underdogs in this group. They've not survived the group stage since 2001, I think, and he's realistic about their ambitions, but says that they will give it all they've got.
Well, let's look at the fixtures now for Tuesday, the 16th of September in this group. Galatasaray will host Anderlecht, and then Arsenal go to Borussia Dortmund. That is our featured match on Matchday Live, Tuesday, the 16th of September at 19:30. CET on UEFA.com will have full commentary from that one. Coming up, we'll be looking at the remaining four groups of this year's UEFA Champions League, and we'll hear from two-time winner Edwin van der Sar.
Andrea Pirlo, Xavi, Petr Cech, Alan Zhagoev, Kaká, the stars of the UEFA Champions League give you their best tips on how to excel on the football field. See these videos and much, much more by logging on to UEFA Training Ground.
Don't forget to get in touch on Twitter at Champions League using the hashtag Matchday Live. And you can like the Facebook page of the UEFA Champions League like 35 million people do now, and leave your comments there for us over the course of the season. Let's have a little look at Group E now. How about this one? Bayern, Manchester City, CSKA Moskva and Italian side Roma. And Bayern, City and CSKA were all grouped together last season. Bayern have strengthened in the summer, bringing in Xabi Alonso from Real Madrid. Perhaps most crucially, it's Robert Lewandowski from German rivals Borussia Dortmund, a man not short of a goal or two in this competition.
Royce back into Lewandowski. Great chance for 3-1. It's there. Lewandowski driving in a fourth goal for Dortmund.
Lewandowski against Lopez. Lewandowski scores! Straight down the middle. It's Borussia Dortmund 4, Real Madrid 1. And it's four goals for Robert Lewandowski.
Well, Mark, we heard you there commentating on a Robert Lewandowski goal. Of course, he's an out-and-out number nine and Mandzukic has gone. How do you think he's going to fit in with the way that Pep Guardiola plays his football?
I think he'll be very well suited to it. And it's interesting that he was a player that was linked with Bayern München even before Pep Guardiola took over. It's been a very long-running saga, hasn't it? And finally, he's arrived at Bayern. But I want to have a quick look at Xabi Alonso as well, because Guardiola seems to be continually experimenting with this sort of midfield minder, who's going to play in that particular role. And he's got so many options there. Javi Martinez, obviously injured at the moment. He's played Philipp Lahm there. Xabi Alonso, though, what pedigree to bring into an already stellar side.
We have had a tweet in here, comes in from Nadal O'Brien. He asks, do you think Manchester City can top this group? Can they, Chris?
I don't see why not. Third season now in the UEFA Champions League. They found their feet last campaign and progressed for the first time. I think they've added to their squad again, the likes of Mangala, Fernando and Sanya. They have Manuel Pellegrini, who knows what he's doing. He won two trophies in his first season in England. They're the champions of England again. They beat Bayern last season away from home in the group, so they know how to beat Bayern as well. I think Manchester City, for me, could be one of the dark horses in this season's competition.
And clearly, Manuel Pellegrini is thinking about his defence, bringing in Mangala, Fernando, Sagna and Willy Caballero, the goalkeeper from Malaga, who he knows very well. CSKA Moskva defended their Russian Premier League title last season. It went down to the final day. Can they fare better this season? And we have AS Roma in the competition this season, Mark, which means we'll see a UEFA Champions League winner and Ashley Cole line up at left back for the Italian side.
Yeah, very good acquisition for Roma. Vastly experienced, obviously, was left on the fringes at Chelsea, but a player that can still do a very good job. And you mentioned CSKA Moskva as well there. I cover a bit of Russian football. And in Russia, defences tend to rule, but they've got some good attacking talents. Musa through the centre and Seydou Doumbia could certainly spring some defences.
OK, so match day one for Wednesday, the 17th of September. AS Roma hosts CSKA Moskva and FC Bayern welcome Manchester City to Munich. That's our feature match on Matchday Live from 19:30 CET. OK, let's have a look at Group F, which is another very interesting one. Indeed, we have Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain, Ajax and Apoel from Cyprus in the section. To discuss Group F in a bit more detail now, and in particular FC Barcelona's chances, I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line now by UEFA.com's Graham Hunter. Graham, thanks for coming on the show. Can you remember a summer where there has been so much change at Barcelona? It's been a remarkable few months for the football club.
Statistically, the club is arguing that not since the summer in which Sir Bobby Robson took over from Johan Cruyff has there been so much change in terms of players bought and sold.
What's the attacking philosophy going to be with those three five-star forwards they now have?
The attacking philosophy is that Luis Enrique, for all the time that he's been a coach, he believes very firmly in 4-3-3. And I think that on form, Neymar will start, Messi in the middle, and Suarez will be asked to drift into the number 9 hole, where Messi maybe drops off a little bit to play like a number 10, but they will, on paper, start as a 4-3-3. What I think it will evolve to begin to look like is a 4-3-1-2. And it will be a team where both Alba and Alves, other wing-backs, they'll be asked to push very, very high up the pitch. And Sergio Busquets will drop into a 3 with whichever of the two central defenders start, let's say, probably Piqué and Vermaelen. And effectively, the front line of attack will be pressing. You're seeing it in the early stages of the season, the domestic season before this highly anticipated Champions League returns, that Messi has begun to press, has begun to win the ball back. Neymar is not particularly consistent at it, but is able to press. And I think we all know that Suarez, irrespective of the fact that it's his goals, number one, and it's controversy, number two. But number three, I think in terms of the things that people notice or talk about him, they very rarely talk about the fact that he's ferociously difficult for defenders who are trying to bring the ball out to play against. And therefore, I guess that adds value for the coach who's joining Luis Enrique.
In terms of Group F, Ajax, Apoel, and of course Paris Saint-Germain, what's the view in Spain about Barcelona's chances and the section they've been drawn into?
Chris, it's a group of ghosts. But let's take Ajax, for example. Remember that last season was the first time these clubs, you could call it a parent and son club, and the first time they ever met competitively. And although Ajax put up a good show, Barcelona picked them apart. But in Amsterdam, this is where the first ghost comes in, it was one of the most brutal times in the last 2-3 years when Barcelona's fallibilities were stripped down to the core, and Barcelona effectively were made to look old and tired and sluggish. They had their legs run off them, and Ajax won comfortably 2-1, and probably it could have been more. And I think that that was one of the matches which became a catalyst for change. The other type of ghost that we see is that two seasons ago in Paris was the first time that Messi came off the pitch injured at halftime, having just scored against Paris Saint-Germain and put Barcelona 1-0 up, properly showing that he had an injury to worry about. He was rushed back to the second leg, in the second leg, because Barcelona were trailing 3-2 in aggregate and about to go out. And he did make a difference. He did help create the goal that evened off the tie and put Barcelona through. But that began a cavalry of injuries which lasted until just before the World Cup. Paris Saint-Germain are a very difficult. I think Barcelona have only beaten them once in European competition. And therefore, I don't mean to, and in fact, I'm not showing any disrespect to Apoel whatsoever. The truth is that both Paris and Ajax are draws that bring difficult memories and difficult tests for football club Barcelona.
Graham, thank you very much for joining us on the show. As always, UEFA.com's Graham Hunter giving us the inside information on FC Barcelona, and he will, of course, be on Matchday Live throughout the course of the season. The goalkeeping great Edwin van der Sar is back at Ajax these days as marketing director, and he told us that to be drawn against Paris Saint-Germain and particularly Barcelona is great for the club's youngsters.
We are a club that emphasises on youth academy developing players, so we have a lot of young players, talented team. And it's great that so many big stars are coming to Amsterdam. So you can play against them, you can square yourself up against them. That's a part of the process. Eh? We're not, we don't have established stars, we create stars. And that's, you need games to play, Champions League games. And that's nothing more you can ask for than these kind of big games.
The thoughts of marketing director at Ajax, Edwin van der Sar. Ajax take on Paris Saint-Germain in their first group game. And Chris, it's been big changes at the Dutch club this summer.
Yeah, they've lost some big players in CM de Jong and Daley Blind. They've just won the Eredivisie for the fourth time in a row. So Dutch champions, Ajax, big history. They've still got an awful lot of wonderful players coming through that famed youth academy. But again, they're paired in such a difficult section with Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain. Probably the favourites to go through. But, you know, you can never discount a club the size of Ajax.
Yeah, Apoel of Cyprus, the other team in the section. Here's how match day one looks for that group on Wednesday, the 17th of September. Barcelona host Apoel and Ajax welcome Paris Saint-Germain to Amsterdam. That's one of our featured matches on Match Day Live. A quick tweet in from the show here. Shadjul wants to know if there's going to be anything to separate between Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain, Mark. We've had so many close matches between the two sides in recent times.
And I think it will be close again. I'm going to be diplomatic and say a home win apiece. And just a quick word on Apoel. People will be writing them off as the least experienced out of that quartet, but don't forget they made the quarterfinals in 2011-2012.
Let's look at Group G now. Chelsea, Schalke, Sporting Club de Portugal and Maribor in this group. Chelsea have recruited well in the summer, bringing in three major players with proven UEFA Champions League pedigree.
Diego Costa takes over, edge of the penalty area, finds it in right footed. Fabulous finish.
Cesc Fabregas with a looping header.
Didier Drogba to win the UEFA Champions League. Blue is the colour!
Well, if Mark Scott isn't just content with being a pundit on the show, he has to be the commentator all over it as well. Well, let's ask you the question here on Chelsea, Mark, because they have recruited very well this summer. Do you think they're much stronger than they were last season?
I think blue might be the colour come June next year as well, to be honest with you. They look ominously strong. Diego Costa is the player that they've been crying out for a while. And just in case he picks up a knock, they've got Didier Drogba, for good measure, the man who won the final with that penalty for them. Add in Cesc Fabregas, who I think personally might be the signing of the summer between the UEFA Champions League contenders. They look the complete package.
Schalke, of course, have faced Chelsea in this competition in recent times as well. Sydney Sam, a major signing for them. What do you think Schalke's expectations will be, Chris?
Well, I think on paper, as Mark said, Chelsea do look extremely strong. Perhaps Schalke, Sporting and Maribor are all looking at that second spot. Schalke reached the first knockout round last season, then beaten heavily by Madrid, but certainly there's no harm in that. They were terrific last season, Carlo Ancelotti's side, as we know. Yeah, Sydney Sam, as you mentioned, good acquisition. Julian Draxler, a year older, and they still have class. Jan Huntelaar, who has had his injury problems, but he's back fit and firing now. So Schalke will look at that and think certainly second has to be our ambition for Group G.
Schalke lost 3-0 home and away to Chelsea last season, but Torres, Eto and Bar, all scorers in those games, have of course now left the football club. Sporting Club de Portugal, Mark. Nani, one of their major signings on loan from Manchester United. They're back in the competition.
Yeah, that's right. Along with Liverpool, I think it's fantastic to see a team with such great heritage represented in the competition once again. And obviously with the final last season being played in Lisbon, there's probably even more demand for them to actually be competing themselves.
And of course, we have NK Maribor, who beat Celtic in the playoffs. I was lucky enough to commentate on that second leg, a remarkable win as Tavares, one of the club legends at Maribor, put them through into the group stage. A marvellous occasion for the football club. Quick tweet in here from the crazy one for Chris. Is Chelsea's group as easy as people think? It actually looks a lot tougher to me than I think people have taken it for.
Initially, a lot of people, particularly in the English press as well, were saying, well, Chelsea have got an easy ride. I don't go along with that. Sporting have improved hugely over the last few seasons. Schalke are UEFA Champions League. You know, they're all the time. They know exactly what the competition's about. And Maribor are a strong side. They did terrifically well to knock out Celtic. Last year in the Europa League, they got to the round of 32, only just lost to Sevilla, who went on to lift the trophy. So actually, I don't think Chelsea have it quite as easy on paper as some people might think.
Yeah, they are an improving European force. On the 17th of September, that's a Wednesday, Chelsea host Schalke for the second season running, and Sporting go to Maribor. Okay, one group to go. Group H. It's another very even group, this one for me, with Porto, Shakhtar Donetsk, Athletic Club and Bartek Borisov in this section. Let's have a quick chat about Porto, Mark, because they've been such a good European force in recent seasons, most notably in the UEFA Europa League, of course, but they'll be hoping to have more of an impact in this competition, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that they've certainly made their name as far as the UEFA Europa League goes in recent seasons. And arguably, some might look upon them as the favourites in this section. But I personally think that this might be the most difficult one to call because of some of the away trips that the other teams such as Athletic Club and Porto will have to make. Batia Borisov, the Belarusians, and then Shakhtar as well in Ukraine. They're difficult places to go. And the atmosphere there will be very different to what they're used to in mainland Europe.
Well, the Algerian Yassine Ibrahimi scored and created another as FC Porto overcame Lille in the playoffs to make the group stage once again.
We've been working a lot with our new coach for the past 2 or 3 months. All the players in the team feel great, and there's a lot of unity in our group. I think that's the most important thing, and I hope we can enjoy a very successful season.
The thoughts of Porto's Yacine Brahimi speaking there. Porto, of course, always seem to be in the UEFA Champions League group stage, but not in it as Portuguese champions this season. Shakhtar Donetsk, Chris, they've had a high turnover of players in recent years because they've done so well on this stage, in truth.
Yeah, they have. Last season didn't quite go according to plan, knocked out in the group stage, but they'll certainly fancy their chances. I agree with Mark. I think in terms of picking a winner or picking a top two in this section is difficult. Shakhtar, again, do have a lot of UEFA Champions League experience. They have a coach in Mircea Lucescu who knows everything about the competition. So I think Shakhtar are going to be a side that never easy to go to Ukraine. They'll fancy their chances of trying to get in the top two.
An Athletic Club showing that they're worthy of their spot in this competition this season, Mark, because of the way that they got past Napoli in the playoff round pretty comprehensively.
Arguably, that was the results of the playoff round. Certainly the most eye-catching. Napoli were sort of the big favourites to go through in that particular tie, but what they showed there, I think, made other teams want to avoid them in the group stage draw.
And of course, making up the rest of Group H, we have Bartek Borisov, who are not strangers to this competition, Chris.
Third time in 4 seasons at the group stage. No longer tenants in Minsk. They'll be playing in Borisov, which makes that an even tougher trip. And of course, 2 seasons ago, they beat Bayern at home in this competition. So there's certainly going to be no pushovers in Group H.
So here are the fixtures for this group on Wednesday, the 17th of September. It's Porto against Bartek Borisov, and Athletic Club welcome Shakhtar Donetsk to Bilbao. Let's go through a couple of tweets we've had in. Now we've gone through all the group stages. At Football Down wants to know, Mark, with so many tough groups this season, which is the hardest section to call?
I think the group that has the highest cumulative quality in it is Group E. You just look at it. Bayern München, Manchester City, CSKA Moskva and AS Roma. You just think about all the players that will be competing in that particular section. The quality is immensely high, and that means it's going to be very difficult to call.
Johannes, Chris, wants to know which group could have the most unpredictable results.
Well, I think partly because of a pot four team in Monaco. You mentioned teams wanting to avoid Roma. I think Monaco were the other side that you probably wanted to avoid. Group C for me, Rob, Benfica, Zenit, Leverkusen, Monaco, purely because there's no clear favourite. All four of those sides will be expecting and will fancy their chances of getting one of the two qualification spots.
So many tough groups to call, and of course we'll have all the action for you on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live every match night from 19:30 CET on UEFA.com. Just go into the Match Centre and we'll have live commentary from the UEFA Champions League. And don't forget, you can tweet us your predictions for the group stage with the hashtag Match Day Live.
Remember, you can hear all the action from every game once again this season on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Go to the Match Centre on UEFA.com from 19:30 CET every match night, starting on Match Day 1 with Borussia Dortmund v Arsenal and Bayern München v Manchester City.
As well as the draw for the UEFA Champions League group stage, 2 prestigious prizes were handed out in Monaco. Richard Connolly reports.
2 of Europe's finest players were honoured at the Grimaldi Forum as winners of the UEFA Best Women's Player in Europe and the UEFA Best Player in Europe for the 2013-14 season.
Alors, le gagnant c'est
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Voted for by a panel of football journalists, Ronaldo beat FC Bayern München's Arjen Robben and Manuel Neuer to the accolade. Ronaldo made the final shortlist in each of the last 3 years, but it was a first success for the Real Madrid star.
I'm really, really happy, so I have to say thank you to my teammates, because without the team, individual awards not will be possible. I have to thank you all the time to my family, to my friends, all the people working with me. It's amazing. I don't have this trophy in my museum, so my brother going to put it in my museum straight away. Thank you a lot to everyone, to the journalists for voting on me. I'm really happy. Thank you.
The shortlist for the Women's Award contained 3 VfL Wolfsburg players, Nadine Kessler, Nila Fischer and Martina Müller.
The winner is
Nadine Kessler.
Having captained her club to UEFA Women's Champions League glory last season, the 26-year-old was a worthy winner, and she was delighted to pick up the award.
It's something really special. To be honest, I didn't even dream about it. It's a surprise for me. I had some great competitors with me, or better said, teammates. I'm simply over the moon.
Aber ich bin einfach überglücklich.
So Cristiano Ronaldo and Nadina Kessler picking up the individual prizes in Monaco. What more can we say about Cristiano Ronaldo, Mark, other than that in the last season's UEFA Champions League, he was quite remarkable.
17 goals in total last season in the UEFA Champions League, a new record. 9 in the group stage, another record. Simply a machine and well worthy of that award.
And Nadina Kessler, a very successful player now, Chris. She's racking up the titles.
She is captain and driving force behind the best team in Europe in terms of women's football last year in Wolfsburg and beating her two teammates as well as rivals at the Grimaldi Forum to pick up certainly a worthy winner.
And there was one final presentation at the draw in the presence of His Serene Highness Prince Albert II of Monaco. UEFA President Michel Platini presented the 2014 UEFA Monaco Charity Award to the United Kingdom's National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. The cheque for €1 million was accepted by Anne Tivas, who is director of the NSPCC's Child Protection in Sport unit.
The UEFA charity cheque will be immensely helpful to us. It will help us to improve our child line and adult helpline services so that they'll be able to reach more children. We'll make sure that the services that we provide actually are really available to children in sport and parents in sport so that they know where they can turn to for help.
Well, just think about how many youngsters will be watching the UEFA Champions League group stage over the course of the season, admiring many of their heroes. And of course, many of their heroes now tweet, of course, throughout the season. Let's see what some of the players did say after the draw. Here's what Arsenal's Aaron Ramsey said after they were pitted against Borussia Dortmund. Some familiar and some new teams and grounds to travel to. Can't wait to hear the UEFA Champions League anthem again in September. Liverpool striker Daniel Sturridge tweets, "Saucy little draw we've got there." Typical Daniel Sturridge language. And of course, we can't leave out Gareth Bale. He did so well last season. An exciting UEFA Champions League draw. Can't wait for it to get underway now. OK, with so many new players for Europe's biggest clubs, I'm sure many listeners are thinking about who they should sign for their UEFA Champions League fantasy teams. Don't forget to sign up for that on UEFA.com and you'll be notified when the game goes live. So, gents, I want you to give me your three best pieces of business done by clubs in the group stage this season. Mark, why don't we start with you?
OK, I'm not going to win any prizes for originality here, but I think that Luis Suarez for Barcelona is a fantastic signing, and I'm going to go with two additions for Chelsea here, Diego Costa and Cesc Fabregas, although Thibaut Courtois deserves a mention, although he's not a new signing, as someone that's been brought back in by the Blues.
I'm going to go for two for Madrid, the holders, James Rodriguez. How good was he in the FIFA World Cup? And Toni Kroos, who will really add even more quality to their midfield. And lastly, it seemed ages ago that it was announced, but it's only just gone through. I think Robert Lewandowski to Bayern is going to be a huge asset to their side.
OK, a quick word on the other UEFA competitions taking place this season. Of course, Sevilla in the group stage of the UEFA Europa League once again as they look to defend their title, Mark.
And obviously the glamour and prestige upped in the UEFA Europa League, which continues improving season upon season, with this year's prize being a place in next term's UEFA Champions League.
The UEFA Women's Champions League starts on Wednesday, the 8th of October. That's one to keep an eye on UEFA.com as well. And we have the UEFA Youth League returning this season. Barcelona, the champions, Chris, and one of their players, a scorer in the final last year against Benfica, is now firing on all cylinders for the first team.
He is. Minar El Haddadi, not just a scorer from the halfway line in Switzerland. It was a remarkable goal, and yet, you know, so much talent coming through that competition. He looks like a person now to keep an eye out on in this season's UEFA Champions League.
OK, before we go, gents, you knew this was going to happen. I'm going to ask you, who's going to win the UEFA Champions League this season and why, Mark? Mark, you can start us off.
I think it's going to be Chelsea this season who are going to win it. They've strengthened the spine. And of course, Jose Mourinho at the helm still.
Well, I'm going to be an old romantic, Rob, and say Real Madrid. They have so much quality, particularly going forward. And of course, they would be history makers if they did it too.
And remember to tweet us who you think will win the UEFA Champions League this season using the hashtag MatchdayLive. Well, that's just about all the time we have. Now we know the identity of the 32 clubs that'll be battling it out this season for Europe's top prize in Berlin next June. It should be an enthralling group stage. Can Real Madrid become the first team to defend the UEFA Champions League League title, or will there be a new name on the trophy? Remember, you can hear every goal from every game throughout the season on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live via the Match Centre on UEFA.com, so make sure you tune in. It all kicks off from 19:30 CET on Tuesday the 16th and Wednesday the 17th of September with some mouth-watering ties, Borussia Dortmund and Arsenal. Real Madrid hosting Basel on the Tuesday, and then it's FC Bayern against Manchester City and Ajax versus Paris Saint-Germain on Wednesday. It's sure to be a brilliant start to another captivating competition. But for now, from Chris Parrott, Mark Scott and myself, Rob Daly, goodbye.